What's going on, podcast? It's your man Colin here, and I'm super excited to be back. Today's episode is featuring Adair Bayerly. Adair is the CEO of Entertainment Mindframe, Forbes' top businesses to know that enhances cognitive and creative performance for professionals and brands in the entertainment industry through brain and behavioral science. With her firsthand experience in show business, entertainment, and fashion as a professional model, she targets her focus and expertise on the way the creative mind operates. Today, she's a licensed practitioner in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, CBT facilitation, cognitive behavioral therapy, neuroplasticity with studies in neuroscience fundamentals, and the neurobiology of trauma. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that I can bring you as much value as I get out of being with Adair. Enjoy.
Alright,
so, Adair, the first thing that I would like to do is introduce you, and while I do this, I want you to interject at any moment that the information becomes skewed, slightly misplaced, whatever it may be. So, Adair, I met Adair through a mutual friend last year, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year. It was coming out of COVID that you and I met, I believe.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, and because we started working with fighters, everything, right? So, I met Adair coming out of COVID. Co-worker and I had a lot of great ideas about how we wanted to tap into the sports world and do a little bit more than just the physical side of the growth of an athlete. And she mentioned to me that Adair was someone that we probably needed to sit down and talk to. And from the moment that I met Adair, I knew that this was going to be a person that could point me in the direction that science would either prove or disprove the theories that I have, not only about the way that the body works, but the way that the brain, the way that our traumas, the way that our sociological experiences impact us on a day-to-day, not only as athletes, but as human beings in general. And I started following Adair, started actually seeing her and the content that she was putting out. And this is another thing that I want to say about a lot of people that I've at least come to meet over the last year that I've grown a deep respect for. The thing about you that I love is that nobody can get all of you from your social media accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. Yeah. And there's always a surprise. And it may not be a surprise in the sense that, oh, I didn't know that she did that, but it's that 11 p.m., you know, free game that gets dropped on Fridays whenever you might be thinking about making that decision that ain't gonna feel too good on Saturday. But it's things like that, and you're a very real individual. And that's another thing that's the reason why I really wanted to get this podcast done, is because the people need that. And this masterclass, this event that you're putting on for creators, and I mean, I would say this is for anybody who's looking to grow in any creative space, and it's hard to really describe what that entails in total. And so this is where, Adair, I'm going to let you take over and talk a little bit more about who you are, where you came from, what got you into psychology, science, all of these different things, and just give us a good brief description of what this masterclass event is going to be.
Okay, well, some back history on me. I was a professional model for a little bit over a decade. I still am a professional model. I just put it on the back burner because it's not my focus. But while I was in the industry, working with tons of geniuses and creatives, I just saw this inconsistent pattern with business, money being lost, contracts being lost, and it was and it all came back to mentality in their brain, right? And I've always been a science nerd in privacy anyway, so I already was attracted to the science world. It's always made sense to me, and probably the last 5 years I just decided to dive into it and really tie the link in with business, the way people think, the way they live their lives, the way they communicate, the way they perceive things, and where it stems from in the brain.
Right.
So I was like, okay, there's a source here, and it's starting at a cellular level, which is kind of crazy to think about. But once I dug all the way down and started seeing the connections between everything, I was like, shit, I gotta make a business out of this because I'm helping people.
Yeah.
And I knew, because when I was on set and I was talking about it, I would literally have celebrities like just zone in and start telling me all this stuff just behind what I was talking about with science.
Right.
And then they would tell me about their experiences, and they're like, oh, that's crazy because I experienced this or I did this. And I was like, holy shit, this is weird. This is literally somebody I grew up watching as a little girl, which my first experience with this was with Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. She was across from me getting her makeup done, and I was getting my hair done. And when I started talking about it, she like opened up and told me all this stuff, and I'm like, she knows Beyonce and like all of these people, and she's been on stage with these people, and she's amazing, and she's telling me this.
Yeah.
Like, but it takes you to like a human connectivity part with these people, and then when you put that into business, take away all that, you know, the following and the fans and stuff.
Yeah.
You realize how much of it impacts the world and their reality that they live in. So I started my business, and it popped off. Like, it hasn't even been 2 years yet, and I've already been in Forbes. I've already
Yeah, congrats on it. I love seeing that. I love when you remind us about
that. Oh, yeah, because I got to remind y'all.
It's like J. Cole says, sometimes I got to show y'all not doing how y'all don't do it because, you know, all of that. But every time you post about that, it reminds me to get my head back on to the level of, and I don't even like calling it thought processes, because one of my mentors told me that the shit doesn't get easier, so your thought processes don't actually change. You just change what you're doing within those zones that you're in.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, me, these guys are walking out all day long, next door. So, when it comes to, and you may feel some a different way about this, but like flow state, that's something that's being, you've heard of flow state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So getting into flow state, how long are you there versus bullshit state? How long, and so for me, I feel like they change, it's just how much time we accommodate to each of these zones from that moment.
So what's interesting about that, which I have not, I only know about the flow state, because I know it's literally your creativity state.
Yeah.
Okay. And I actually haven't even used this word flow state. I haven't even used that statement, but I know what it is. So,
yeah.
But since people know what it is, I think it'd be important to tie it into to what I'm talking about.
Right.
Is, so your flow state, a lot of people wonder like where creativity comes from in the brain. They're like, what happens? Which, oddly enough, right now, guys, I'm wearing a t-shirt that is left brain, right brain, which is not true. That is actually a myth that right brain people are creative and left brain people are analytical thinkers. Creativity does not come from one hemisphere. It comes from both. And it's multiple areas. It's more of a network where there's multiple parts of the brain that's working together at one time. And it's called your default network. And your default network is basically when your brain is not on a cognitive function. So this is why stress...
The default is when you're not on a cognitive function?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is why stress or work or anything that requires you to be focused to complete the task can not motivate you over time, because it's blocking your brain state when your brain is completely relaxed and it can just come up with ideas. So that's where that flow state comes from, is when you're just chilling. Even if sometimes you are working, like let's say you're working out, right, and you're picking up a weight, you already know how to do that. So you don't have to really cognitively function, like, I mean, use your cognitive function on that, because you have muscle memory that's doing that for you. So while your muscle memory is working for you, you can be in a flow state. Why, you know, because your brain's relaxed. Yeah, and then you start thinking about things while you're working out. Or you start thinking about things when you're in the shower. You start thinking about things.
Driving, and then you're suddenly 10 miles down the traveling trip. And
yeah, and you don't remember how you got to the location you knew you were going to in the first place.
Right.
So I just had to say that because you said flow state. So I was like, okay, I'm going to interject here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point, because there are all these new ways of presenting slightly different information,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to the brain, because everybody wants to be the intellectual property behind flow state and all of these other things. And I actually reached out to the guy that launched or released the flow state project yesterday, and I just shot him a DM and told him I wanted to talk to him about some stuff. I'm super curious as to, because it does become intellectual property at that point, just as I'm sure what you would say that your business stands on is intellectual property.
Uh-huh.
Here at the gym, I believe that what we operate on is intellectual property, but there's no word for it. So you have something like psychology, and you can pay to get a sample size, and you can pay to have research done. Do you think that right now where we're at in the science world, there's a direct correlation with people racing to be the first, just like there is? And I get that exists, but more in depth with strictly these states of mind that we've been focused on getting into, and giving people products to get into,
mm-hmm.
the limitless pill, things like that. Has it become a race for people to say that they showed someone how to get into that specific state of mind? Or is this organically, is it just growing organically in the sense that we as an accumulative community focused on psychology want to learn more about the brain?
I think,
especially in your realm where you're dealing with high-level CEOs, creators, and things like
that. Yeah, so for me, on my end, and where my company was different, where my intellectual property was different, I'm not the first person to bring brain science into an industry, but my business was the first business created to bring brain science into show business and entertainment business, directly, like on set, with which directly correlates with some of the biggest infamous scandals that you've seen. Like, we'll just say Harvey Weinstein is one of them. Business that happens like that on a normal, like it's considered normal in that world. So there's not a lot of structure in that world. There's a lot of power plays. So I did it for that reason. I think people have always wanted to be the first at everything. I mean, that's just kind of the way humans are. That's why we rule the world and not any other animal does. Well, also our brains are a lot more advanced, but we care about being the first. Like, we've gone to war with other countries because we weren't the first here, or they were the first there, or they wanted to be the first on this. So we all have a very territorial code embedded in us to want to be the first to do anything. I think right now, society is becoming more scientifically literate, which I love, because it's driving you more and more away from that old age of thinking of having some crazy fantasy belief system about why things happen. a certain way. The lack of scientific thinking has caused a lot of issues with people. I mean, and if you look back over history, you can see that the way they used to treat people in mental health homes. You know, they used to do crazy shit to them, put them underwater, shock them, burn them, thinking, okay, we're going to change the way they act. And no one knew how to look at a brain scan. No one knew how to, you know, study the nervous system. So once you start learning more about the body, the brain, the nervous system, it just starts making more sense. And then people, I think it's just growing. I really think that's why it's becoming more of a topic. And I love it because I think everybody needs it. Everyone needs it. I mean, you can literally, I don't like to say the word heal because when I say heal, that usually means that something's wrong with you, but you can change your reality. Even if you're dealing with mental health issues and you're on medication, and I can say this from firsthand experience because I was on medication. I was on depression medication for like 2 years, and that's not a medication. The type I was on is not the type that you just stop taking. Like, you have to taper off, because if you stop, you can have a fucking heart attack or something bad will happen to your body. And just me understanding the brain more over the years allowed me to taper off myself. And then I was off, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, you know, because... And also, by the way, people are seeing a difference in the medical field, because less and less people are believing doctors as soon as they go, right? They're starting to do more things at home to take care of themselves. They're starting to do more natural remedies. They're starting to do supplements and things what people didn't do before. Like, people didn't know about, what's a supplement that people didn't know about like 10 years ago or 5 years ago that nobody took? Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those. Yeah. Uh-huh. That have been around forever. Forever. Yeah.
I don't believe a lot of therapists have that power, especially
knowing myself and how deep I'm willing to go. So I had to say, there you go. And I just made sure it wasn't about us some answer of why Colin is why Colin. That's not what therapy is going to be.
Well, Colin, it sounds like you're doing
that.
That's funny. Yeah, so a psychiatrist will prescribe medication. That's they're the ultimate decision makers on that. Your psychologist cannot prescribe you medication. I think they can, but I don't know if they can diagnose you. I'm not sure. There's a difference there. So I encourage people, depending on what you're dealing with, like if you're having really bad thoughts, okay, let's just say you're having terrible thoughts, like, and when I say terrible thoughts, I don't mean like you're just angry today and you might punch somebody in the face. I mean you're thinking, you find yourself planning like blowing up a fucking building or, you know, shooting up people, you're having images of doing these things. You should probably talk to a psychologist, right? Just to make sure that there's nothing going on. They can take your blood, they can see if there's any hormones lacking in any areas. They can do scans on you, see if there's any injuries to your brain. If you've been in an accident, I think it's important to see a neurologist. So if you've had, I would say see a neurologist, because they'll do scans, but it just depends, because your brain is so powerful. It really, if you're aware of it, you can work on that area and build it back even stronger than it was before. This is why people that have been in terrible accidents and are told they can never walk again, the difference between those that accept that and the ones that don't, the ones that don't accept that are the ones that go and work on it. They do physical therapy, right? Physical therapy is a form of therapy. You're just not talking. You're using the same nervous system to build these dendrites in your brain that tell your body this is what you have to do. And then once you build that so strong in your brain, then it sends signals to your entire body, now you can walk again when you're told you could never do it again. So, you know, therapy, I like to put therapy in forms of that way, because everybody knows that physical therapy usually works. And it's the same thing with your mind, just because it's not tangible, it's a little bit harder, you know, to see. But yeah, so you know, there's all different, you got counselors, you got therapists, you got psychologists, psychiatrists, neurologists, you even have Eastern doctors and medicine, Eastern medicine doctors. They all have different ways of, and whatever works for you is what it is. So I'm not a big like counseling person. That's just me though. That's not me saying don't do that. That's just how I am. Doesn't work for me. No, my boyfriend's a Gemini. D's a Gemini. I'm a Libra. So, but yeah, so it just depends on what works for you. It really does. And I tell people to always educate themselves on each service, so you're not wasting your time. Because I've been to therapists and they didn't help me do shit either.
And the person matters as well.
Yeah, the person matters.
And that's what I realized, because the therapist that I saw is my girlfriend's therapist, but also was my little sister's therapist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so when I'm in the room, and I'm in, and that's why I've done a lot of reading when it comes to psychology, and I did when I was very young, so I say that very young, my last is 27. I did when I was about 19 to 21. So my favorite book that I ever read, Psychology of Women, I forget who wrote it, but it was a college textbook from like 19, late 80s.
Talking about like nonverbal communication.
Like nonverbal communication settings. Physical nonverbal cues, things like that. And that summer I started reading that.
Is when I became a pimp.
Yo, I'm not even playing. I started going and I went through four months of this, and by the end of that four months, I go back and get this note, and it's fascinating to me because
you were like, wow, science actually fucking works. That is so funny. That's a really good story, though. And I'm a woman, right? That does not offend me at all, because I encourage everybody to do that. Maybe if it's not with opposite sex, whatever you want to put it in, I encourage everybody to understand. And you just happened to read that book, right? So that was your, like, okay, I'm going to put this to the test, and I'm going to figure this out. Everybody can do that. Everyone can do that. Anyone can do that. So, you know.
And just imagine if everybody decided they were going to take their time each year, designate half of the hours that they waste to learning one thing about regret.
Right.
All I really learned during that time, the biggest thing I learned during that time was the nonverbal pieces. And I wanted to be able to track the woman that's sitting all the way across the threshold, whether that meant I had to get on a walk a certain way, whether that meant I had to be around her to see her. And that changed how women operated with me just all across the body. Because I'm a lot of such a different instead of
Compassionate for women understanding. When you understand, so this is the crazy part. People think that this is manipulation, but it's not. When you learn about something and someone, and you learn how they work, you're just learning the system. Whether it's, it doesn't matter if it's people, if it's your job, if it's fucking politics, whatever it is that you decide to learn, it's not manipulation. It's you understanding. And when we understand, we automatically have more compassion because now we have connected with that subject and we're like, okay, now I get it. And it usually takes that. It usually takes our mind having to go there. Like, how many fucking movies have you seen where there's a race issue, right? And the person's transformed because they put themselves in that person's life. Or they started seeing similarities and they're like, wow, we're similar here, and I understand this, so all of a sudden I'm not racist anymore. It's really that simple. Like, not understanding, I always said this for a long time, people that are very hard to convince, people that are closed-minded, people that still have racial issues, like, they have a pretty low IQ. Because that's their little reality, and they have not, I can tell they haven't expanded their mind, I can tell they haven't read a book, I can tell they haven't done anything with their lives, because they repeat the same damn thing every day. Well, they are right, in their bubble they're right.
That's the difference in what I believe empathy and sympathy are in our age right now. Everyone believes they're empathetic, and to your point, I think you truly have to try to be what is being described to, even if it's just a thought. Mm-hmm. To be empathetic, you can't take someone saying anything about something and just take that for what it is and say, I have empathy towards you, but that's sympathy. And there's a big misunderstanding between which is which right now. Because, everybody wants to be right, because I don't think anyone wants to be right. People just don't want to be challenged. So if you're sympathetic, you're still going to be challenged because you don't understand. In my eyes, sympathy is one of the issues, conversation to essentially dissolve. And whenever that transition into empathy, especially like these race issues, empathy takes you being okay with your grandfather being a fucked person. Empathy takes you being able to say, I was wrong yesterday, I was wrong 10 minutes before we started our conversation. Sympathy is simply, I'm sorry that your family is home and they brought you to Texas from Alabama. I don't feel bad that shit happened. I'm just sorry you feel bad because we have to talk about it. And everyone I've seen is so sorry.
That sucks.
Damn. Yeah, no, shit, that's what happens. Damn. That happened. And then that continues. It's almost like that's just damn. Oh, shit. Fuck. And then no solution comes from mind you. I don't think there's a solution to the fact that people, all this, but there is that understanding of, y'all can't be colonized, you're all a judgment. However, we open our minds and hearts to allow you all, even half humans, to save us. We said we can trust that maybe that was the end. That's fucking because the end for most people, they knew that they hope because they're going to have children, grandchildren. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Whether it was good or not, I know that there were slaves and people who came out of that had that process of whether it was fucked up or not, these people that brought us here, colonized here, committed a genocide against certain groups of people. With the thought of their grandchildren and shit like that.
Yeah.
That is empathy at its finest. However, it doesn't make shit right.
Yeah.
And so, do you have to be right to do that? More often times than not, I feel like I realize you may have made people wrong.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants to be first. I'm sorry,
so that you go
tell everybody.
Right.
And that's... I think that's why my question at the beginning was about are people racist first or are people racist until people understand you can change your life. I think it's both. If you put it that way, I think it's both.
There's a lot of people that see that it's a trend.
Yeah.
So they're just going, getting the minimal certifications. They're popping certain words on there, like cognition, meditation, mindfulness. They're popping these words in on their marketing, and that they have no understanding of how any of it works. So they sound good and they're attracting, but when you actually have people come to you because they see those words and realize you actually can't deliver anything, or you don't have any service that actually enhances what you said you're going to enhance, well, now there's a problem. Now that's a moral issue for me as a person who... I'm not a doctor at all. I'm not even really a scientist. I didn't go to school to get a science degree, but I do... I'm a scientist in terms of... I believe... I'm like an advocate for being scientifically literate. You can be scientifically literate without having a doctor's degree and being in a medical field or being a space engineer or whatever it is. You can learn how to access that part of you because it's all a part of us. On the empathetic part, this is really interesting, and I don't want to butcher this because I can't explain it perfectly, but the neuroscientist that I know, Misty Romano, she also goes by Misty Huckabee, she literally focuses on compassion in the brain. And there is this very small little part in the brain that compassion comes from. People that have been serial killers or have committed like really heinous crimes have been shown that that's a very small area in their brain. You can actually build that area up and have more compassion, which leads to empathy, which is what you were talking about. Which is really crazy because people don't even know that. Right? Yeah, it's a small part of the brain, and I completely forgot the name of it. But she's actually going to be at my event. Speaking, so, and I want her to touch on compassion because that's all she does, it's all she talks about. Compassion and mindfulness, and she actually knows how to pinpoint where those things are and how to activate them and make them grow. And when I created my event, just from working with so many creatives, and when I say creatives, I work in a field of people with like that's mainly artistic creatives. So whether it's entertainment, fashion, marketing, I don't know, beauty, whatever, film, media, any of that. Even actors and models. it's dancers. Shit, I can keep going. But they all have a very, very different way of performing. And when I mean performing, I mean like doing their job. I don't mean performing the art. I mean like actually making their business grow, having connections with people. And it's the same thing. Everybody goes through the same thing. That's the crazy part that I kept saying. I'm like, everybody goes through this. They have these spurts of ideas and they go for it and then they won't complete it. They stop. Why? Right? And then, or they get into it and they get knee deep and then they just need to take a break because they're mentally exhausted. So I see this with every single creative I've ever worked with. And by the way, everybody's a creative to some degree. Every single person. They just may not activate it a lot, but every single person is creative. And creativity really is the ability to think of a world that really doesn't exist yet. Or you think of you doing something that you haven't done yet. So even getting up in the morning and saying, having a vision of you going to the park and walking, or having a vision of you eating this meal that you like, that's a part of creativity, right? That's just a really small example, but it continues. So the people that actually have, that work in a creative field, theirs is a little bit more advanced than people that don't, because they're constantly exercising their ability to surpass what they can't do, right? Versus those that haven't really gone there yet, so they can't break past that barrier. So I wanted to make this event mental health based for that reason. And when I say mental health, I'm not talking about something's wrong with you and you just have depression or anxiety. Those are, most of the time, those are results of something else that's going on. That's not really the source. That's just, so it was a buildup, and now this is a symptom. It's a symptom of a source. So I wanted to create this event to help people get to the source of what is going on in their mind and in their brain that keeps preventing them from doing the things they know they're supposed to do. Knowing damn well what they're supposed to do. Procrastination is one of them. That's the biggest one. Every single creative does it. Procrastination is a form of self-sabotage. It actually is. And if I remember correctly, actually, let me find this. I'll find it and I'll tell you. I know I'm crazy. Yeah, a lot of creatives are. It's okay, Colin. Everybody does it. I'm gonna find this because I have to say. Okay. I got it here. Sorry. You're gonna have to edit all this just to like get this one little part in. Okay, so
shout it to me.
Procrastination. I had to find this because I wrote it down. The root word meaning is to put off until tomorrow. Okay, and it stems from the Greek word akrasia. I may be saying that wrong. That's A-K-R-A-S-I-A. And that means doing something against our better judgment. So it's a very telling word. We say it all the time. Oh, I'm procrastinating. And we're not even realizing that we're saying out loud, I'm doing something against my better judgment. I'm doing something I know I'm not supposed to be doing. But I feel comfortable here, so I'm going to do it anyway.
And then we say that because how many people, what percentage do you think, rough guess, knows what procrastination is in that sense?
Oh, a very little. I think we know it with our feeling in our body. We can feel it, But to be able to verbalize
you
it,
you can pick
don't
that
know
definition
it.
Up.
Yeah.
So I, wow.
Just fucked you up.
Yeah, because now it's like, I'll procrastinate so much less now because of that. Just purely because I can say it. This is against my better judgment. And make that association every time. Not just, I know this is against my better judgment. Fuck it, I'm just procrastinating. No. This is the epitome of doing things against my better judgment. And I guess that for me is going to hit hard because right now I'm in a kind of a space where my better judgment is probably the best adversary that I have.
Yeah.
And there are many days where I don't know what's going on. I can't. It's like my homie Baz. This man will ask me in the morning what's on my mind. And I don't have an answer. It's like 7 a.m. I don't have an answer. Because there's a million things on my mind. It's just that moment. They were all on the line. So a lot of times pulling one for me is like pulling a tooth. And when I do pull it, I'll start to procrastinate because I won't have, and this probably comes down to a lot of different things, scheduling, agenda, planning, preparing, because...
Well, it's not knowing.
Yeah.
A lot of it is not knowing. Like, you don't really have a complete, because it's an idea, right? Like, it hasn't been given birth yet.
Right,
so you,
right.
It's like you can't touch it.
Yeah. Literally. It's yeah. like... It's like trying to move an imaginary snowball.
Yeah.
And that is probably the best way I can. It's like moving a snowball, but until you actually do the first three things that have to happen, four things, however many it may be, it's just air. And you're just rolling over this air. And you just see this ball of air. Dust up the snow to the side versus picking up that momentum. And then you're like, okay, well, this one isn't working. Maybe I'll go to the next one. And that's the best pick. And never do it until you actually sit down and dedicate yourself to not just what you want, but the journey to get there. A lot of times I think we don't give ourselves adequate amounts of time when it comes to these things.
Yeah, we do. We rob ourselves of time, and we do that on purpose. So, well, we don't realize we're doing it. It's a subconscious thing. So I won't say we're in the morning, we're like, you know what, I'm just going to fuck up my life. Like, we don't do that. We don't do that at all. We just... We move unconsciously, I'm sorry, subconsciously, not unconsciously, we move subconsciously to the most comfortable thing to us in that moment. Every single, it's always going to win, always. So it's really hard to stop that and do something else.
Do you think writing those things down would help that?
Writing down what you would want to do or need to do?
Need to, yeah. So in
this
is
start,
I
but
ask,
no.
Because for me, if let's say that, and I want this to be pretty relatable. So let's say that instance of procrastination is smoking a blunt or going and having a beer. Where does that start? It doesn't start at the moment you start smoking or start drinking.
No.
It starts in the in here, in your mind. And a lot of the times, whenever you or whenever I would be in that moment and tell myself, no, I have shit to do. If in that very moment I can't say, okay, what is the shit I need to do and what's the next step in that journey that needs to be taken, if I don't have that answer, consider
right.
it gone. I'm going to just go and do whatever it is that I wanted to do to
procrastinate. So the reason why writing it down doesn't work is because if you've already been procrastinating and you know you have to do that, you're still going to procrastinate even if it's written down. the way to start is you have to start on something much smaller that you're actually going to do, that you have to do that day. So, and I'm not bullshitting, I've actually had people do this and it worked. You get up in the morning and let's say you do your to-do list. Not everybody does this, but this is a really good way to create dopamine in your brain and get you motivated. So you wake up in the morning and you say, brush your teeth. I gotta brush my teeth. You write that down. You gotta do that. You're gonna do that anyway. Brush your teeth. Use the bathroom. Shower. Brush my hair. Literally do the things you know you have to do. Lock the front door. And start marking them off when you complete them. And then underneath that are the things that you know you need to do, but you keep procrastinating. So what happens is when you write it down and then you complete it and your brain sees that you complete it, you're more likely to follow through with the things that you need to do, right? Because your brain is saying, oh my God, I did it. And then it feels good. Now you have a reward for completing something. And you do that throughout the day. And now you have motivation to do what you have not had motivation to do before. So it's really like a neuro hack. Even though you're doing the same damn thing every day. You're doing the same thing every day. You're just writing it down and you're marking it off. And I swear to God, it works. It's the craziest shit, but it works.
No, it really does. That's why, like, and, you know, some things, humans, we're so thick, like.
Yeah, we're strange.
There's a book called Make Your Bed, and it's one of the best-selling books in the world, and it has some of the highest volume of reviews of a book seriously impacting someone's life, no matter what class they're in, where they're from, all that shit. The motherfuckers don't wake up and make the bed.
Yeah.
I don't wake up and make the bed because my girlfriend's still in the bed. So my view is that she should get up and make the fucking bed. She didn't get up and make the bed. I feel like I didn't make the bed. So then it's like for the next hour, I'm like, fuck, did I make the bed? Like, I don't know. I didn't make the bed. You know.
Do you know who wrote that book?
I don't.
Okay. So the only I never read that book, but I do know of the theory that Jordan Peterson talks about a lot, which is clean your room.
Yeah.
Clean your room before you go out into the real world and start taking over the real world, because your room, your ability to focus on the little things around you. And complete the little things around you will tell me about how much you can actually get done in the real world and how realistic you are at getting it done. And that it's a really deep, not saying that people that are successful all have clean rooms. Like, that's not the point. The point is having the brain power and the bandwidth to actually do what you say you're going to do and complete it. Like, that's the point of the whole thing, and actually following through. Very, very few people start and finish. Very few people start. Some people don't even start.
Most of them.
Right?
Fear kicks in.
Most of them don't finish. The ones that do start, most of them don't finish. So, with the class that I made, I wanted... This is literally a master class for creatives. And it's a series... right now we're looking at doing it once every other month, because it's a different topic every month. This one, the first one, we're talking about balancing mental health and creativity. So we're talking about pretty much all the shit we're talking about right now. We're talking about all the things that prevent you from actually getting from A to B, and what's going on in the brain, and how to shut that off, and how to turn this on, and get the shit going. And the next one, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'll probably take a poll and see what most people are dealing with. And then we'll get new panelists that come in. Right now I have three people on my panel. Misty, who I said was the neuroscientist. I have KG, who has he has the top black-owned media company here with magazine, Coastline Magazine. And then... I have Rochelle Gray, and Rochelle is like a Jill of all trades. She's literally done everything. Right now she's focusing on that's, she's like a content creator, but she's just a genius, and she's worked with heavy hitters already in the industry, and she's like, just her momentum is crazy. And I remember when I first met her, she was telling me this vision she had of how she wanted to run business, and like, she's doing it.
Yeah.
Like a year later. So I'm like, okay, you gotta be on my panel. I need you on here.
It's right in. What we're talking about.
Yeah. So, there's a lot. There's so much to it that, and I know people, once you can verbalize something for them that they're already feeling, they're already knowing, that automatically helps people. Like, I don't think people understand how much just being able to put a word to what you're dealing with and being able to identify it. Like, just now we talked about procrastination. Now you can say, I'm going against my better judgment. And you know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly how that feels.
Yeah.
And now you're accountable. Now you're holding yourself accountable. And if you don't do it, well, that's totally your
that
fault.
That falls right in line with self-awareness. Yeah, because... And a lot of people would prefer not to be aware. And that's okay.
Well, it's easier.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
It's kind of easier. It's easier because you don't have to change, and you don't have to do... It's always someone else's
fault.
It's easier to die.
Yeah.
But it may not make your reality better. Like, you probably won't feel better. Might be miserable.
Yeah.
Possibility. You might be miserable. You might die, and all your ideas go to the grave with you, and that's terrible. That's terrible.
I'm super interested in seeing what happens in the next few years in sports as this stuff starts to. Try and make its way in there. Because I feel like I think we're going to see a lot of leaders become even better leaders earlier. Because. And not just because we can talk about the science, but because right now, I mean, that shit matters. People. If you give a fuck, you're making more money right now. That's one of the simplest terms of business that I've seen across all industries, is that if you give a fuck, you're making more money. Interesting. You familiar with Benford's Law?
No.
All right, so Benford's Law, I knew that there was something I should have studied a little bit more. So I just familiarized myself with it about a week ago. And this is the law that states in any given in any given group of numbers, there's going to be more numbers that start with 1 than 2 by about 17%, or 2 than 3 by about 7%, and that decline goes all the way through 1 through 9.
What's it called?
Benford's
I'm curious.
Law. Yeah, okay. And it's one of those things, like, once you see it, you can't unsee it, so you try to make sense of everything within this law. But it's basically...
Oh, it's about probability.
Yes. It's a probability. And it's basically what... It's what the UK uses to determine if someone's attempting tax fraud. And the United States doesn't claim to use it or not. They use it as well. And so, the crazy thing was you start seeing it in life. And for instance, I don't know the specifics on how what the numbers have to range to and things like that, but this, so this also goes into thought process. So, 17% more often times we're going to go with that first thought than second thought. And they were talking about the voting process. This last election was the first time, based on polls, based on the mock voting, and all of that, this was the first time that Benford's Law was broken. and people decided not to vote on their first choice, but to vote on their second choice. So now you have two thought processes arrived from that. Fraud, or people are actually becoming conscious.
Right.
And I would like to take my mind towards the law that people are becoming more conscious, because whether I want to think this in depth about how people vote or not, and whether anyone wants to believe it or not, what this says is that there were people who got into that booth, and regardless of the shit they said on Facebook, Twitter, all of that, they got in there, and they made the conscious decision not to let Trump back in office. That's probably one of the most impactful political instances ever. We can talk about the massacres, we can talk about all the slavery shit, but the fact that it is proven that this law has never been broken in politics before, and this is the first time. No, never again should we say people will just vote for someone because of the party. From now on, everyone should be understanding that there's an ethical battle that people are actually giving into when it comes to politics. And I think that's going to put us in a lot better of a position, not only politically, but economically, socially. And now that people understand, almost all I have to do to take the next step is give a damn. Everything that comes after that, especially for people who are actually trying to dive deep into this, like people like you, there are going to be people who make such a huge difference in the lives of young people, whether it's sports, business. The young CEOs are going to start going from 27 to 21.
Yeah.
And the real ones, 22.
Right.
And that's something I'm trying to get my little brother to understand, because he's about to turn 21. He hasn't. I've been starting to brand with him and doing some other things, and he's not really. I haven't made it fun. It's been very, you know, one of the great lessons my dad taught me when I was 20, when I was talking about this girl, how she was tripping, and I was going to go to the league, and she needed to get her ass together and all this. She was like, what do you have to show? 20, about to be 21, no job, you play football in college, bro. Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all. That set in, and then after that, I was reading the book and all of that. So, trying to get into his brain that you have the capacity to change not only what your life looks like, but something I've been also blessed to hear that I heard people with. How people wake up and how they move because of the things that you've presented them with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to sum all that up, if you are someone that is looking to grow not only in business, your social life, economically, and understand why you move versus having these sporadic bursts of growth, the masterclass is where you need to be. So, July 30th, and where's the new location?
The location is Magnolia on Swiss, so I'll be putting up my flyers. I got a trailer coming out too. I'm really excited about it. I've had this idea for a couple years and I've procrastinated. I didn't do anything about it, but now I'm doing it, and I think it's going to be really impactful. The goal really is to get it to a point where we're traveling and doing these in other cities, because it's just needed. It's just needed. So.
Well, dear, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This was so much fun. I said 15, 20 minutes for hour.
I didn't even listen to you when you said that.
No, I didn't. I had to just say that so that I can at least try to pretend to get my mind on.
No, I got you. That's good.
As a podcast host. I really enjoyed this. Since that master class is held kind of... Seldomly, I'll do my best to get her back in here to talk to you, because I know y'all don't want to hear from her again. So, everybody, make sure you all follow her. Is it the brains behind Fame?
It's brains behind Fame. But if you just type in my name, A-D-A-I-R-E, you should see me come up. Either Dare Byerly, you'll see my name, but my username on Instagram is brains behind Fame. And I also do have a modeling page. It's just The Real Adair. So if anyone sees it, don't think it's a fake page. That is me.
It is her. But follow you can, both of them, too. Follow
yeah,
both.
You could put just Adair, A-D-A-I-R-E. You'll probably find me everywhere because I have a unique name. So.
Yeah, no. And free game from Adair. I'm going to start telling her to charge y'all for that shit. But, yeah, man, this was great. This was episode, I guess technically this was episode one of the relaunch of the Gassed Up and Passed Up podcast, and we'll get into why we're here next episode. So, dear, thank you again. Like, subscribe, do all that shit that all these influencers tell y'all to do. I'll fix all that later. Peace.